Well, welcome, everybody. And if you're new or newer with us, I'm Dave Vigna. My wife and I and a couple other people, Tim and Cassie, moved up here 3 years ago and started this church. We're 3 years old. We're still young and getting going and doing some wonderful things. God has had his hand on us, and we so appreciate that he's allowed us to grow to the place where we have and to reach out to people and even be in this place where we're spawning another church or helping to spawn another church, partnering like other churches did for our sake with Kyle and Ruth for the sake of this new generation's church to be begun at the end of next year. And we're just so thrilled about that. And I just want to encourage you to consider and think about being part of that church. Attend the interest meeting if there's any kind of inclination you have to want to know more about that. Even if you live out here and could lend a hand over in Salmon Creek for a season, that would be a huge help to them. So just want to throw that out there and just encourage you as a church. Thank you for getting behind the efforts of the branch to reaching out to the many, many people that are finding home here in the Clark County area. Now, if you look on your screen, you'll see that we're into this next great event that we produce, different events. This one's an invitational event, one in which we encourage ourselves to build that culture of inviting our friends in our lives, acquaintances, people we know that may not have a church home, may not know much about Jesus at all, not have much faith, and invite them into this room where we just do something fun. Can Christians have fun? Somebody say yes. Christians have a blast in life, and we're going to have this great entertainment. It'll be very family-friendly, so anybody that you know that has kids, make sure the kids come. This isn't just an adult deal. Plus, there'll be desserts, and some very yummy ones at that. I think we got some gluten-free stuff coming, too, for those of you that do that better. So anyway, it's going to be a good time. We're looking for a young band, just kids that can be the preface to this, to the entertainer that we have coming. That's this Saturday night, and the goal is to invite people and give them a ticket. So we have tickets available to get in the door. Doors will open at 6:30 right here this coming Saturday night, and the tickets are available, and they can be at will call at the door. So if you can't get a ticket, you know, in their hand before then, they can pick it up right here on Saturday night. Here's a great opportunity we have to express gratitude, build this culture of gratitude, not just for the stuff that God's given to us. And we got stuff, don't we? Anybody's got stuff? I can't even fit my cars in my garage because I got stuff, right? Anybody, you know, some of you've got stuff in the mini storage too, I know. Anyway, so we got our stuff and we're thankful for that. No question about it, right? But what about the people in our lives? What about the people that we're not really that close to, but you know, there's something sincerely thankful or appreciative we know about their life. And when we just say to them, look, we're just this church, branch church. This is not a religious event. There's no preaching, probably won't even be a prayer. But we have a good time and we're just out to thank people in our lives. I just like to give you this as a gift to say thank you for being in my life and for this particular thing that I appreciate about you, perhaps. That's as simple as it is, guys, and it's an hour or so event, and so we're going to have a good time this coming Saturday night. I want to encourage you to get on board with this. I think we've got a good, numbers are coming, and we're growing and developing this the crowd for that event. So looking forward to it. I hope you are too. All right. Okay, so we have been in this series, this new series, just 1 week, so we just have begun, so if you're new to it, that's okay. Glad you're here. This series is all about, and its purpose to help us to lift people in a season that's got a reputation for depressing people, okay? This ramp up, this Christmas, this holiday season, I always have seen it as, you know, a great spirit. I love all the lights that come out, and I love all the Christmas songs, traditional Christmas songs. But you know what, friends? You know what goes up this time of year? The suicide rate goes up this time of year. And that's representative of not just those that are taking their lives because of deep despair or depression. That is representative of other people that haven't gone that far but are down anyway. And it could have to do with relationships of the past, things that have happened in their lives, the struggle they may have had. Maybe the season is a struggle for them as they see where they want to be givers. It's hard to. So we're trying to, in this series, 6 weeks long, we're going to look at four ways, important ways, we can help people. And I know the branches of People Helping People Church, we just want to help people. It's part of the culture of who we are. And so we're just going to talk about these four ways that we can help people. We're spending a couple weeks on this first one. It's called generosity. Generosity. And in particular, financial generosity. Last week we looked at three ways financial generosity helps people. Look at them again. Generosity helps people with material needs. And so we are desiring to be a church that helps people when they're going through a transition, a struggle financially. They're struggling to make ends meet. As you can see, we're doing that with the school here. There's 30 families, or 25 to 30 families are trying to raise $700. $30 will help you help a family that has kids going to this school. And so that's wonderful. We also, at the end of every year, the last 2 years, we've had what we call a Christmas offering. All right? That's a year-end offering. And what this offering does is it serves to accumulate some money that we have to spend next year in 2019 for benevolence or outreach purposes. So it can't go to pay for the facility here. It can't go to, you know, other needs in ministry and such. It has to go to that. And so last year we raised $5,000. That $5,000 is pretty much all spent And we helped five families that are associated with this church, that attend this church, five families, $5,000 about was what we needed for that. I'm just saying, this has served to help people with material needs. Your generosity did that. So we're raising money for this offering again between now and the end of the year. Then we stop it. We don't talk about it anymore. So if you'd like to contribute toward that, it's there. These envelopes, I think, are on your tables, and you can contribute anytime between now and the end of the year. But generosity also helps people with spiritual needs. And the church is designed for that, too, right? In a big way. Not only are we designed to help people with material needs, we're designed to help people with spiritual needs. Their need to be reconnected and reconciled to the God who created them, who loves them more than anyone else on the planet. I guarantee you, he does. And he has a purpose and a plan for every person's life. He wants every one of us to live forever and ever and ever. And that means that we have some spiritual needs that have to be dealt with. And so the church is about doing that. Well, how does generosity fit into that? Well, we have to have some operating funds, as I like to call them. Some churches call general fund, but it's like operating funds, to be able to meet and connect and have the wherewithal and resources to reach out into the community, to evangelize and do outreach and connect with people, bringing them closer to God and eventually crossing that line of faith where they come to deal with their own sin and the very cross of Christ that God has given, the death of his son for our sin. Well, that requires some things. And so what we have is a budget that we use every year. And for those of you that are newer with us, we're not a rogue church plant. We're under accountability. I have a boss that I report to and a board, and I have to show what happens to every single dollar that's generously given to the branch church, okay? And so we've got a goal to reach a place of self-sustaining or self-support. Right now we're supported and helped by churches, three churches that are helping us month by month, and numbers of individuals. That total amount for this year will come to about $45,000 of external money that's coming in to help us internally here. Isn't that wonderful? By the way, that's what we're going to be doing to help Kyle and Ruth. This church will contribute toward helping them along with others. We'll partner in extending the gospel mission to bring the life-saving, life-changing Word of God, the gospel, the good news of eternal life to people that way too. So this is an exciting thing. So we're working toward, and last year we had a 65% goal, and we reached it. Thank you, your generosity. This year our goal is to reach 160,000. We've still got 41,000 to go. That's a challenging goal for us, but, you know, we serve a great big God. And, so I'm determined that maybe he wants to reach that. We set that goal. We're gonna go for it. So between now and the end of the year, the goal is to reach a 41,000, and the Christmas offering funds will be part of that. So there we have it. Those kinds of monies serve to change lives like mine. So when I was going through my second awakening, I call it that, you know, because I, in my early 20s, was dealing with God again. I did early on because my parents took me to church every single Sunday all through those years. But I got to the place where I didn't have to go because they said I needed to go. I should go, and I will go. But I got to choose. And I started to choose whether or not I really thought this was worthwhile. You know what? There was a church, and there were people in that church that existed, and people had given and was generous to that church all through the years, and it was there, and it affected me. And because it was there, I got to know Jesus better. It was there because people had generously given way before my time. But because it was there, I got to know the generosity of God for my life and the gift of grace. It's the same thing we're doing for people right now. One day there'll be somebody sitting up in heaven, and we'll be, you know, kind of, hey, where do you come from? So, you know, like, you wouldn't believe this, but there was this church. It was a new church in this kind of East County of Clark County in Vancouver, Washington. You ever heard of that? Well, yeah, you know, I did hear about it. Hey, what else about that church? Well, they reached out to me. And I went to a fun fest, or I went to a harvest party, and I got to know this church, and they were around, and they were doing the stuff in the community. And then, you know what happened? One time I got a mailer that invited me to their church. Not very many of them out there, but this church invited me to their church. And I thought, well, maybe I should go and try church, or try it again. And I went. You know, I started to hear some things that, you know, as an adult, the filter is totally different than when I was a kid. And now I could see the relevance of a creator God who's sovereign over all, rules over all, and that I will one day stand before. And you know what? I made a commitment, and I trusted in that God and his plan, his system of salvation for my life, and here I am in heaven. And you know what? You're going to be able to meet somebody like that up there one day. And it is in part because of the generosity of people to establish another mission outpost in and amongst the thriving masses of people that are headed somewhere, right? Friends, this is so important. And I want to talk about this, because your generosity is a big piece to what makes the church go. It was so important for me to get that from a church that was established because people had given to it. Well, anyway, that's second. And then third, generosity helps one personal trust in the God who provides. I'm going to talk more about this today with respect to my own personal soul. But look again at what Jesus said. Jesus said these words, "Don't worry, don't worry," he said. That's hard for me, but, you know, I got to try to do that. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, Jesus said. But, what does he say? But, don't worry, but what? But, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus says, prioritize your thinking by trusting that I'm going to take care of you. I own it all. I'm the great provider. I'll take care of you. Friends, this was hard for me because I was one, as some of you know, if you were here last week or have heard me speak to it, I had a love of money. And a love of money is one of the problems that can happen. It's a root, the Bible says, of all kinds of evil. But I wanted the security. I wanted the control. I wanted to get it all. But God started to work on me through what Jesus said and through the example of other people. I started to see the generosity of God in giving not just me stuff, but he gave me his son. That affected me. And then Nellie and Hazel, I heard talked about them last week. Nellie and Hazel helped me put their money together, the little that they had, and generously gave me a gift to be able to go to a singles retreat that was a pivotal point in time for a bachelor that was living on Top Ramen. Right? Changed me. That was so important because people gave. They were generous to me, two little old ladies. Bless their souls. I'm going to thank them again when I get to heaven. I wanted to be like them, to lift others, to give people a helping hand, to partner with God in this big thing he was doing on the planet, to be generous. I had a problem, though. I was upside down in my finances. Anybody ever been there? I owed more money than I had, and I was going deeper. I was building a deeper hole of debt. Anybody ever been there? I'm just saying, that's where I was. And I didn't have any money left over at the end of the month to give to anybody. I didn't. But I wanted to, and I believe everybody does. Everybody wants to be. I really believe that in my heart, unless we're really super greedy. And it's all about getting and not about getting. Well, I had this problem. So I had to make some commitments to begin to generously give. But at the same time, there was these resources that would help me to manage or steward what God had given to me better. One of them is Financial Peace University. I think it'll be up here on the screen. And we're doing this again. We've had a couple, two or three of them already in the life of the short life of the branch church, but we're going to start another one in January. If you're interested in that, just put it down, FPU, on your connection cards, and we'll make sure you get on that list as that opportunity comes up. It's a 9-week, just incredible seminar. Lori and I have been through it 3 times, and we'll probably go through it again just because it's a tune-up, right, on the engine of our resources to maximize them for the glory of God. So anyway, there's also Right Now Media, which anybody can have that's a tender at the branch. If you don't have this, it's free to you. We pay for it at the branch. Over 10,000 videos, and there's a number of them that deal with stewardship and generosity and those things. You can start just to grow as I started to grow in my generosity journey. It was so important to me. Here's a couple of things I learned about being becoming a generous giver over the years, and I've got years on numbers of you. Very few of you got more years than me. There's a couple, two or three of you. I see you, but anyway, so here's the deal. I am a steward, I learned. I am a steward, and if you're filling out your notes, that's one word you can stick in there, but not an owner of all I have. I had to start to think that way because it was really true. I'm a steward or a manager of the resources I've been given. Whatever possessions, wealth, income, all of that, I'm simply a steward of it. God owns it all. It's really all his, isn't it? Look a couple verses in the scripture. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It really belongs to God. Came from him. He's the creator. It'll eventually all it'll all go back to him in the sense of a finality to this temporary life. Okay, there's a finality to this temporary life. For you and for me, we can just think of it as our death, you know, if we want. But there's a finality to it. God owns it all. The silver is mine. And the gold is mine, says or declares the Lord Almighty. Haggai 2:8. Anybody here have a $100 bill? Thank you, sir. Come on up. $100 bill. By the way, give this guy a hand. 30 years in the Army. Sergeant. Master Sergeant. No, the bill. I need $100. Come on. I'm going to have to go out and find another $100 bill.
Hey, I got $1 bill.
No. $100. $100.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Seriously?
Yeah.
That's a $100 bill. So, why are you going to give this to me? Yeah, okay. Yeah, before the service, I asked him, give it up for him. Thank you.
Me and Lori were thinking about spending.
Okay, so this is just an idea of what God does. God asks us to hold his money. It's all his. It all belongs to God. You're entrusted with it, and you're to steward it, and I am too, right? We're to manage it. We're to hold on to it till God wants us to deal with it, and he wants us to make a living with it. He wants us to enjoy life with it. He wants us to do all kinds of things with the wealth that he gives us. It's incredible, really. But in the end, I mean, he can take it back. And sometimes he asks us to give a portion back to fuel his kingdom, his cause on earth. Okay? That's what giving tends to be about in the Bible. It tends to be about with God. So I learned that I'm a steward. I'm not an owner of all I have. And secondly, I earned, God wants my heart. God really wants my heart. But money can compete for it. He wants my heart, but money can compete for it. You know, look at what the Bible says here. This is Jesus again. He's talking. Listen up. This is Jesus, all right? Do not store. That's what he says. Do not store. One more time. We get it. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't, but do. Look what he goes on to say. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. These are Jesus' words, okay? They could be hard for some of us, but listen to them. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one, you'll love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. All right. Some people think that the church or God wants their money. Anybody ever thought that before? Church or God wants your money. Now, you know what he wants? He wants your heart. You think he needs your money? You know, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills and all the rest of the hills on the planet, by the way. He could drop $1 billion into the offering plate any Sunday he wants to. Do you believe that? This isn't about money. It's about eternity of our lives, friends. That's what it's really all about. God's not poor. But to completely release our heart to him, we have to let go of it. Jesus is saying right here in these words here that, look at the top verse again. Treasure is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so, I've tied a $100 bill onto this balloon. But this balloon is a heart balloon, isn't it? This represents my heart, and this represents my money. Well, these hundreds are going into the Christmas offering, by the way. Okay, so don't get any ideas about coming after them. So here's the deal. My money and my heart are simply connected. And my heart wants to go wherever my treasure is. If you have some money in the stock market, do you look at it very often? Boy, when I had some money in the stock market, I was at that page every day. How's my money doing? How's my money doing? Because where my treasure is, right? Those of you that have the treasure of a little baby, you know where your heart is. It's right where your treasure is. Ah, amen. So my heart and my treasure, my money, are connected. Now, one of these is going to be, Jesus says, my master. You know, is it going to be God or my money? God or one can be a master of me. I got to be careful. Jesus wants my heart. So I've got to give him my treasure. But it's hard to let go of. How come this won't go up? How come I can't give him my heart? Anybody tell me? Why can't I give him my heart? But I'm holding on to my money. It's hard to give him my whole heart when I'm holding on to my money because my heart and my money are connected. And so I've got to trust God, trust that he's going to provide. I want to honor him. I want my heart to be close to his. He says, let go. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. For the next service, I put this on there so I can get it back. Okay, so, all right. So I have a book here. It's called The Treasure Principle. It's written by Randy Alcorn, if you've ever heard of him. Wrote an incredible little book here. I've got 20 of them back here on this table. You can have this book to read. And if you're willing to, I mean, if you take it and keep it and want to just keep rereading it, you can have it forever, okay? It's just yours. But if you're willing to read it, get some principles out of it, and return it so somebody else can have a shot at reading it, I'm going to see how far the 20 go. Everyone can have one to read. This is a short read. This is powerful read. Read this book. It can be life transforming to you, to your soul, to your relationship with God. It's the treasure principle. The treasure of having a relationship with God, of getting to heaven, is worth more than anything you can have or accumulate on the planet. Now, that's easy to say, it's hard to do, because I've got a bill due next week, because I've got this I want to do, because this is pulling on me to use my funds, so I don't have any left over for God. Well, the treasure principle kind of reverses that. It isn't about leftovers. It's about priorities. It's about planning. It's about getting first things straight, to seek first His kingdom, His right. So these books are available. If we run out of the books and you're going to sign them out, if you didn't get a book, sign your name down. You'll get one by next week. Okay? Deal? All right. I hope all these go. This is an incredible book. It's for you to read. Okay, so here's a question I had in my whole journey of generosity. How much is generous? And so I want us to deal with what the Bible says about generosity. What, you know, King David, he was an incredible king, and he was generous, and he was going to provide all of the materials and all of the what it took, resources, to build the temple, which would be one of the seven wonders of the world at its time. And so he donated, get this, he donated in today's gold and silver prices, and I had somebody fact check me on this, $126 billion for a building. Is there any building like worth that much on the planet today? And then that day, there wasn't either, friends. That was huge. That was his part. And then that inspired the people to also raise up money. And so the building actually cost more than that. It would be Solomon, his son, who would actually build it. But David provided, through his generosity, all those resources. And then we have this verse tucked away over in Luke chapter 21. Look at this with me. Jesus looked up. He was what he saw, and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. And he said this, should be on the screen. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put, look what it says, my emphasis, more than all the others. You know, it's called a widow's mite, a couple of pennies. She put in more, Jesus says. I'm just talking about generosity here, friends. Jesus says she was more generous. Really? Yeah. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. That was sacrifice. Wow. Jesus is trying to help us understand what generosity means. At least he did for me. How much is generous was my question, and now I'm getting the picture. It's not necessarily about the amount. For the amount that I would put in that would seem to me to be killing me, to another person would be chump change. Wouldn't be much for them because they have the resources. Well, what's God looking for? Generosity on my part and generosity on the part of someone who has the extreme wealth compared to me. That's what God's looking for. What's he really looking for? A heart. He wants our life. He already has the money, really. He uses this money, which we're so connected to help us deal with the real life, our relationship with an awesome God who cares deeply for our lives, and when we die, wants us to live forever with him. That's what he's interested in. I can serve a God like that, can't you? This stuff's passing. This stuff's temporary. This stuff's finite. The eternal is what we want to deal with. Let me just give you a taste. Page 52. This is treasure principle key number 4. There's 6 of them. It says, I should live not for the dot, but for the line. The line is the eternity, friends. The line is the permanent life. The dot is this life. And as you get older, you realize how fast it went. It's like, boy, that was just like a dot. It just boom, it's gone. And so there's this idea of proportional or percentage is what the Bible uses. A percentage was the standard. In the Old Testament law, now we're in the New Testament or the New Agreement or Covenant with God. It doesn't state this directly, but the Old Testament standard for giving was 10%. 10% of whatever God blessed you with. 10% of your income. Okay? Now, I'm learning generosity. I'm in this journey to try to become more generous. I want to help people. I want to help people get to heaven. I want to invest whatever God's given to me the best I can to do that. It's a 10%. 10%? That's more than a car payment in my income. My goodness, are you serious? I mean, I started to really question, whoa, because I was upside down. How's that ever going to come out of what I get? You know? I'm just kind of telling you the reality of what I was going through in my 20s to kind of figure out what. But look at what they said in the Old Testament. The people of God gave 10%. In fact, they gave more than 10%. This was the 10% for the service of the religious service, for the Levites and the priests. This wasn't the other 10% they would have to give, and even an additional 10% once a year. This was this 10% here. And God said, he asked, how are we robbing you? You went into a diatribe with the people at the time. In tithes and offerings, God says, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me or stealing from me. Bring the whole tithe, God said. This is to the people of Israel after they came back from the exile and they were struggling financially. And here God challenges them to give the way they should according to the law that they lived under. Okay? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there will not even be room enough to store it. I will prevent, look what he goes on to say. How does that happen then? I'm going to prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. You know, for me in my day, I remember driving a car way past its serviceable life. You know what God did? He kept that car running. And so I could be generous. I'm just saying. It kind of works, you know, a little differently perhaps for us in our day. Because I do go by this tithing. Why do I do that? Tithing is beyond the law. Really, it's before the law. The law was given through Moses, and the people were told to give 10% of all that God blessed them with. But I don't go by that law today. I'm not under the old covenant Mosaic law. That's not what I'm obeying when I give my 10%. I'm looking at a standard that came before that law was ever given. In fact, we can go back to this guy called Melchizedek. Say it with me. Melchizedek. All right, some of you got it. And he's this 400 years before Moses, Abraham came up to him. This is given in the Hebrews in the New Testament. We have this hope, it says there, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. And there's a lot of figurativeness going on here between the Old and the New Covenant, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. So he's of a different priesthood, not of the priesthood of the Old Covenant times, the Aaronic priesthood. This is a different priesthood, but this is the one that's like what Jesus ascribes to. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings, that's this Melchizedek, and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness, then also king of Salem, which means also king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling, look what it says here, the Son of God. This will be on your notes, not on the screen, I believe. He remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was, this Melchizedek, that even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Friends, that establishes enough for me what generosity would be for my life and a tithe, and then I do an offering in addition. So I'll continue to tithe to the budget, and then I'll give an offering, for example, to the Christmas offering, and then I'll give, you know, Lori and I'll give to this to try to come up with a $700 for the school here. To me, friends, this is a pretty, as I studied it out on my journey, and this wasn't easy to reorient my whole finances to be able to give generously like this. But friends, God provided for me to do that. And over this past numbers of years, 30 plus years, that's what we have chosen to do. Now, I don't put it as a law for anybody to do, but I'm going to point you to some scriptures that indicate that that's a 10% tithe is a justifiable giving standard. That's a starting place, what a lot of preachers would say, compared to the old covenant. We live under a much better covenant than they had to. And we get this opportunity to be generous and extend the kingdom to help as many people as possible. What it meant for me is that I had to plan. It couldn't be a token gift that I said, oh, what do I got today? And I pull out a 20 spot or something like that. No, it was a planned giving out of my budget, and it was the first 10% that I would take out of my budget. That's what we chose to do, and it would be a priority. I would do that first. Some big bill would come up. I might even go on to and do a little credit in order to make sure that I honored God with my 10%. Some emergency thing came up, and then gradually I was able to develop an emergency fund, like what Financial Peace will tell you to do and that kind of thing. Did this happen to me overnight? No. Can it happen to you overnight? I don't know. That's up to between you and God. but here's the deal. God provides when we prioritize. When we prioritize Him first, He will take care of you. We've all got to work this out in our own lives. I just commend to you what God says in the Bible. Okay? And, you know, we've always had enough, and we still have that garage that's packed full, can't fit a car in. Anyway, so let me just give you two last scriptures, and we're going to tie this all up. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So this idea of generosity comes up. Notice what it says. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. God is able to bless you abundantly. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You can be generous on every occasion. That's what he's saying. So as I plant, he's using this farmer agricultural law. As I put seeds in the ground, if I put more seeds, I'll get more crop. As I put more giving into kingdom work, God will take care of me. And I'll have more to give later. He prospers you, I would suggest, not that you could just accumulate more. And I'm not against accumulation. I've got a bunch of it in my garage, okay? I'm just saying. And we want to go, Laura and I are going to take a little flight to, you know, somebody this next week. We're going to spend some money. So I'm not against having a good, but prioritizing this thing and understanding that as I give generously, I will reap generously. In order to, I suggest, even be able to give more. We have one guy supporting this church that has told me, Dave, I give to my own church, and I'm giving to you guys, and I'm giving until it hurts. That's his desire. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you there are people that really give generously, that sometimes don't have the massive wealth to be able to, you know, well, when I get that much, then I'll give. Do not judge, Jesus says, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Notice the generosity in that. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, notice the generosity, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and it will be poured into your lap. With measure you use, it will be measured to you. Put more seeds in there, give more, sow more generously. Watch how God does that. We are lifted, friends, because of the generosity of others. Others have given us a hand up. I suggest that your spiritual growth and the place to where God has brought you right now has in part happened because people have in part given generously to those things that have been able to help you to grow and to know God and to be blessed. And you have that, and I have that opportunity right here at the branch. We can lift others up, helping them, yeah, materially through things like this, and helping them spiritually as we develop and reach more people and send more churches out. What an amazing thing that happened. But in the final analysis, I'll say this to you. You will be able to, if you're not already in this place, be able to share with other people how God has changed you as you trusted Him and let go, bringing your heart close to Him. Oh God, thank You for the church that helped me come to know You. Thank You that they existed. Thank You for the generosity of the people that went before that church that established it. Thank You for the people right here in this room that are generous to Your kingdom work. Thank You for those that are here with an interest to be generous as much as they can. Oh God, would You help each of us and help me that I might be able to do all Your will, that You would have purpose through my life with the resources that You have entrusted to my stewardship. God, that You would use them as You would need for the furtherance of Your kingdom, the glory of Your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.